Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Friday, June 5th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. And there's definitely some news to talk about today for sure. Some stuff came up this morning, last few days, there's been some news. But the first thing I want to say is go back to Tuesday's podcast if you didn't already listen to that podcast. Myself and Cole Shelton breaking down UFC 250. We broke down all 12 fights in the card. One fight was kind of up in the air for a little bit there. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But overall, the fights stayed together so far. The weigh-ins are happening today, though. So, you know, potentially someone could miss weight. We've seen that happen the last few cards. Hopefully that doesn't happen, though. Hopefully all 12 fights go on as scheduled. And that should be a pretty good card. So definitely check that out. I'll talk about the card a little bit later in this podcast. But I want to get to some news first. So let's get the news right away. I'm going to start with Gilbert Burns. Dana White was on Steve-O's podcast. Yes, Steve-O from Jackass. And he asked Dana White about Gilbert Burns and basically who's going to get the next title shot at 170. Dana said that he loves Gilbert Burns. He loves guys that step up on short notice. And he says that he's probably going to get the next title shot, highly likely to get the next title shot at 170. To me, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, Masvidal, yeah, we all thought he was going to get the shot in the next belt. But the problem with Masvidal is right now, he's not coming to agreement with the UFC on money and Usman as well. I feel like Gilbert Burns, I talked about this on Tuesday, I feel like he's more likely to take whatever the UFC offers him because at this point he has nothing to lose. Like Masvidal, this is probably gonna be the last time he gets a title shot for a while. With Burns, like he can still work his way back to another one. He just jumped into this conversation out of nowhere, basically. So right now, Gilbert Burns is the number one guy in this division. He beat Woodley, he's number one ranked. I'm fine with him getting the title shot. I would like to see the Masvidal fight because that's the fight we were all planning on seeing after Masvidal beat Till, Askren, and Diaz. But I think what Burns did to Woodley is arguably more impressive. Going in there and beating Woodley 50-44, even though this is not the same Woodley that was the champion a few years ago, that's still an impressive win. That's how Kamaru Usman won the title. Burns did the same thing, just swept the card with him and maybe gets a title shot. So, you know, that's how Kamaru Usman got the belt and Burns basically did the same thing. So to me, I'm fine with Gilbert Burns getting the next title shot. I'd like to see Masvidal get it, though. I just feel like the money situation is a big problem right now. You know, the UFC is basically, they're giving these guys offers, and they're not really negotiating too much. Like, you saw what happened with Jon Jones last week. UFC gave him a number to fight Nogano. He said, no, that fight's not happening. The problem right now is, and obviously we all know what's going on, there's no fans in the audience. So the UFC, they don't want to go too crazy as far as upping pay for these guys. That's why you saw Henry Cejudo walk away. He didn't get what he wanted. Jon Jones might walk away now. These guys, they want to get paid more, and they deserve it. Jon Jones deserves to get paid as much as anyone in the sport. But considering the state of the economy, considering the state of the UFC's parent company, Endeavor, I don't know if they can do that right now. So, you know, for me, I'm 100% pro fighter. These guys deserve to get paid more. The last card where we saw those guys getting paid like $10,000 on the prelims, I mean, it just shows the problem with the pay in the sport. But in the UFC's case, you know, they're sticking to their budget right now. So to me, a guy like Gilbert Burns is more likely to fit into the UFC's budget right now to get that title shot. He's more likely to take, you know, a small increase on whatever he made in the last fight. The last fight, I think Burns made 84 and 84, if I'm not mistaken. So that, you know, that's almost 200. He might get 250 guaranteed or something, 300 to get that title shot. But it wouldn't be like $1 million or $2 million like a lot of these other guys want to get. So, you know, again, I'd like to see Masvidal get this title shot, guys, but it sounds like Gilbert Burns is going to get it. And if that's what happens, I'm okay with it as well. Got a comment here. Daniel Edwards, hope you're well, Martin. Can't wait for this card this Saturday. Me too, man. We'll talk about the card a little bit later. There's some news that kind of happened yesterday. Some crazy stuff happened, but I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you asking me, and I hope you guys are doing well as well. And you know what? If you guys have any questions, as always, throw them in the chat. I'll answer them, and I'll get to them throughout the show. Okay, so let's get into some other news here. So like I said, Gilbert Burns probably gets the next title shot at 170. Now, the question is, where does that leave a guy like Colby Covington, who has been rumored to get the next title shot? Here's the thing about Colby. The fight with Kamaru Usman was like razor close. Yes, he did get finished with like a minute left, but let's be honest, guys, that finish was not the greatest stoppage in the world by Mark Goddard. You know, we saw what happened the next week when Mark Goddard refereed the Korean Zombie Frankie Edgar fight and let Frankie take way more shots than Colby. So to me, that was kind of an early stoppage. He would have still lost. Colby would have still lost the decision on the scorecards, but it was still a really close fight. And to me, he's still one of the top guys. At the same time, though, I think with Burns and Masvidal coming off all these wins, and Leon Edwards is another guy, you got to talk about him as well. He's coming off 8 straight wins. So those three guys, they should be getting the next title shots. Only one guy can get it. It's probably going to be Burns. Could be Masvidal. But Covington right now, he does want that rematch. He wants that title shot. Dana White has said he's in the mix. He's probably going to have to fight again. And the one guy he's probably going to fight is Tyron Woodley, his rival. Now, Woodley's out there saying that he's already accepted a Colby Covington fight. He says that, you know, he's already been offered by the UFC. He's willing to take the fight. That's a big fight. That's a good fight for the UFC. That headline's a fight night card. You could put that on a pay-per-view as well, but that's a fight night headliner if you've ever seen one. So to me, that's a fight that makes a lot of sense right now, especially with both guys coming off losses. Having said that, guys, if Woodley fights Covington, I'm taking Covington all day in that fight, man. After seeing Woodley get smoked the last two fights and I picked against him, he did even worse than I expected, though. He lost 50-44. It's hard to back turn Woodley right now. So to me, if this is the fight the UFC makes, I'm all over Colby Covington, all over the Covington train. But, you know, to me, it's like one of those fights where the UFC, they kind of got to strike while the iron's hot. The rivalry between Colby Covington and Woodley is still something there. If Woodley loses again to some random guy in the division, then, you know, there's no point even booking this fight. So right now is the only time they can book it. I think the fight makes a lot of sense. Again, fight night headliner, Fight Island, Apex, wherever, UFC and ESPN headliner. Don't know if it's a pay-per-view like caliber headliner. I don't think it is at all, actually. No, there's no title on the line. But a fight night card makes a lot of sense. Got a couple comments here. Ultimate Fight Picks. What's up, Adam? What's up, bro? And he likes Covington as well. Turn up MMA. Can't really argue it, I suppose. Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But it sounds like the UFC is trying to make that fight. Now, one fight that popped up this morning, guys, and I was just waking up and Cole sent me a DM and he's like, yo, check this out. I was just like, whoa. Alexander Gustafsson is coming back, but as a heavyweight, and he's going to fight Fabricio Werdum on the July 25th card on Fight Island. Whoa, this is pretty nuts, right? Like, Gustafsson's been retired for over a year. He hasn't fought since he lost to Anthony Smith last June. And quite frankly, you know, Gustafsson, he is one of the greats of all, like, ever at 205, one of the greatest. But he is on the downside of his career now. He is only 33, but we saw the last two fights, man. He got smoked by Jones and Smith. The Smith loss bothers me because Smith, he's an okay fighter. He's not amazing by any means. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we saw what happened to Glover Teixeira in the last fight with Smith. I don't like the fact that Gustafsson got submitted by him in the fourth round. So to me, you got to fade Gus here. But at the same time, Fabricio Werdum, you know, he didn't look that great against Alexei Linick. He looked out of shape in that fight. He was coming off a long layoff. So it's like two guys coming off long layoffs, basically. But at least Werdum got that fight in recently. It's kind of weird, right? Like, give me your guys' thoughts on this one. Throw it in the chat. I don't understand the matchmaking, to be honest with you. Like, I know Gustafsson probably wants a fresh start. So I guess that's why he's moving up to heavyweight. And you know what? Obviously, he's one of the biggest light heavyweights. 6'5", 79-inch reach. You can put some weight on. And again, you know, he hasn't really been fighting much. So I don't know how much he's been training and stuff. He's probably a little bit out of shape. I guess that's why he's moving up. But it's still kind of weird that he's going to fight Werdum in his debut. I don't know. It's kind of a strange matchup, right? The other thing that they mentioned here, Combatchu is the one who reported it. They said that if Werdum can't go, it's going to be Ovince St. Preux against Gustafsson at heavyweight. Again, it's kind of weird, right? Like, they could just do that at 205, but I guess both guys probably not in the right shape right now. Like, you've seen a lot of fights moved up a weight class recently or catch weights and stuff just because guys aren't training like normally as they normally would. But yeah, I don't know. I can't get around this one. It's just weird. Like, again, fresh start for Gus. I get that. But to me, it's like, if John Jones retires or if he vacates the belt or gets released, whatever happens with John Jones, you know, even though Gustafsson's a little below ranked now in the division, like he's like bottom 10, he's still in the top 10. So to me, it's like Gus, if he wanted to, he could, you know, fight a guy like Corey Anderson, gets a win there, and he's right back in the mix. He's not that far off a title shot at 205. And heavyweight, he's lost in the mix. I get it. It's a fresh start. But he's behind guys like Nagano, Blades, guys like that. So to me, it's just very bizarre. It's weird. I was a little confused when I saw this morning, but it is good to see Gus back. I've always been a huge Gustafsson fan. I love the guy. I just question the move up to heavyweight and stuff. Ultimate Fight Pick says he won't be betting on a fight. Yeah, and he says he didn't like betting heavyweights. Man, me either. You know, heavyweight fights in general, guys, are like probably the hardest fights to pick. There's so much variance in heavyweight fights. One punch ends it. You know, other divisions, you know, anyone can get knocked out in the sport. We all know that. But in heavyweight, it's like, a guy can just get – he can be dominating the fight and get tagged in the chin. Look at Volkov versus Derek Lewis a few years ago. We saw what happened there. Volkov's winning the whole fight, and bang, Lewis connects on a punch and knocks him out with like 9 seconds left. So that's the problem with heavyweight fights. I'm with you on that one. It's just weird. That's a stay away from fight if I've ever seen one. Gustafsson moving up to fight for Doom at heavyweight. I guess I lean towards Gus a little bit just because, you know, he's a little bit younger, a little bit fresher and stuff, but still, you know, the layoff bothers me and the move up to heavyweight's just kind of bizarre. So we'll see what happens there. But that card is supposed to take place on July 25th. That card is supposed to be headlined by Robert Whittaker versus Darren Till, which should be a great fight as well. I'm guessing the winner of that would be in the mix for the title shot at 185. Speaking of 185, we got to get Adesanya back in there soon. I know he just fought in March. It wasn't that long ago, but that's 3 months ago. Time to get him back in the cage against Paulo Costa. Like, I know the UFC, again, they want to save their headliners. They want to save their main events. And I actually wrote this on Twitter the other day. The UFC has 12 divisions right now. There's only two title fights coming up in the next 3 months. That's crazy to me. You know, you have Nunez against Spencer this weekend. And then in July, there's Figueiredo against Benavidez 2 for the flyweight title. That's it. No other titles are being defended or being fought for. There's a lot of vacant titles right now. There's a lot of champions sitting out. Again, the UFC wants to save these guys for when fans are back in attendance. For instance, Conor McGregor, he probably won't be fighting anytime soon. Dana White's basically said, we're waiting for him. He's going to wait for the winner of Gaethje or Nurmagomedov. And to me, it's like, why? You know, you have your biggest star. He's healthy. He wants to fight. But again, they want the live gate. They don't want to waste McGregor on no gate. So that's why you see a lot of these cards, quite frankly, weak. Like, look at the next card, Jessica Ai versus Cynthia Calvillo. That card, by the way, is one of the worst cards probably we've ever seen. I'll be watching it, of course, but it's just a weak card. But I think we have to expect that. You know, look at some of the main events coming up, guys. They're not that great. So, you know, again, it has a lot to do with no gate and no fans being allowed in attendance. Ultimate Fight Pick says if he likes heavyweights, he's going to go with the underdog. Yeah, me too. All right, so anyways, July 25th. So we got Till versus Whitaker and Gustafsson against Verdum. And then we got one other fight here, and you guys will probably like this one. Even though it's kind of bizarre too, but it is a rebooking. Mauricio Shogunato against Antonio Rogério Nogueira. This fight was supposed to happen in UFC 250. That card was canceled. They rebooked it for July 25th. Two legends of the sport, two legends of the light heavyweight division, two Brazilian legends. The problem with this fight is we've already seen it twice, and Shogun won both fights. We saw it 5 years ago, and we saw it 15 years ago in Pride. So it's kind of weird that they would do this matchup again, considering just both guys have fought twice already, and we've seen one guy win two fights. It's just kind of weird. I personally would have matched up Shogun with someone else. Like, let me just take a look at the division right now. You know, Shogun against 205. You know, someone, he's ranked number 15 right now. A guy like Ryan Spann, who's number 13. I get Spann's ranked above him, but Spann just beat Sam Alvey. That's not a big win. Spann beating Shogun's a bigger win, in my opinion. So that's the kind of fight I would have did. And Rogério Nogueira just lost to Ryan Spann. I would have booked Little Nog against someone who's not even ranked, to be honest with you. So that's what I would have did. But UFC, they like this matchup for some reason. It should be a good fight. I mean, the last two fights between these guys were good. I just failed to see why we need to see this fight a third time. I guess if these guys are retiring after this fight, it does kind of make sense. But if they're going to keep fighting in the UFC, then what the heck? Massio, can Spencer hang three or four rounds? That's the question a lot of us have right now. Does she get knocked out early, or does she hang on and maybe survive her decision? Tough to say, man. It really is. Like, she showed a lot of toughness against Chris Cyborg, but number one, the fight was three rounds. This is five rounds. Number two, Amanda Nunes honestly is a better fighter at this point than Chris Cyborg. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of banking on an early finish by Nunes. Like, that's how she gets a lot of her finishes, kind of early on. But possibly Spencer could hang tough. I think Cole picked her by decision. So, or Nunes by decision. So maybe that could happen, but I'm leaning towards Nunes by TKO. I look at it as a mismatch, honestly. I'd like to see Spencer be competitive in this fight and kind of prove me wrong, but it's more of just me being high on Nunes than fading Spencer. I think Spencer's a pretty good fighter. She beats most of the women at 145 and probably 135 if she ever fought there. But against Nunes, it's just a tough matchup, man. So I'm kind of leaning towards a finish. Maybe if you're playing DraftKings or something, and you're trying to think, hey, you know, can I take a cheap dog here that can survive and pick up some points along the way? That's probably what a lot of people are thinking right now. Like, do I put Spencer in my team? It's hard to say. It really is. All right. So, July 25th card is done. July 18th card, we got a nice fight here added here between Kelvin Gastelum and Jack Hermanson. So Hermanson was supposed to fight Chris Weidman. That fight's not happening now. Kelvin Gastelum gets the fight instead. Not sure what's going on with Weidman. They might be saving for someone else. A few months ago, they were talking about Edmund Shabazian against Chris Weidman. You got to feel bad for Chris if he gets that fight, guys, because, I do not see that going well for Chris Weidman if he fights Edmund Shabazian. But it does kind of make sense. I mean, Edmund's an up-and-comer. Chris is still ranked pretty high, I think. So that fight would make sense. As far as this fight goes, Gastelum versus Hermanson, it's a good matchup. It makes a lot of sense. Both guys in the top 10, both guys coming off losses. Jack Hermanson, in his last fight, he got knocked out by Jared Cannonier, and Kelvin Gastelum lost a split decision to Darren Till. Fight that makes a lot of sense. I'd probably lean towards Gastelum a little bit. I know he's a little bit smaller, obviously. Hermans is actually a very, very big middleweight, but Gastelum, I think, is a little more skilled and faster and more powerful as well. So great fight. I actually really like this matchup. I don't think it's a main event. I think it's the co-main event. I believe Figueiredo and Benavidez will be the main event for that card. So it should be a decent fight. Ultimate Fight Pick Slice Gastelum. Yeah, I think you have to like him with the speed and just the power. So I definitely favor him a little bit there. But again, we don't have any odds out. So we'll wait and see what happens. But I would expect him to have a slight lead in the odds. Not sure, maybe like minus 200 or something like that. The other fight announcement here is Curtis Blaydes against Alexander Volkov. And this fight's coming up soon, June 20th. That's a headliner for that card. Really good fight card overall. Much better than June 13th card. And the June 13th card, you know, I don't want to hate on these fighters too much because, you know, they're just doing their job. And it's not their fault that the card is very weak. But, I mean, you look at that card and Jess Guy versus Cynthia Calvillo. I mean, that must be one of the weakest main events we've ever seen. I mean, it's just not a good main event. It's not a good fight. You know, I was talking about this with Cole last night. I sent him a DM, and I'm like, why didn't they just save Sean O'Malley to fight Eddie Wineland for the main event? Like, I'd rather see that for five rounds than I versus Calvillo. And the sad part is I versus Calvillo might go for the full five, and it might not be very exciting either. So just a very, very bizarre matchup there, and I don't understand why the UFC did it. But you look at the rest of that card, guys, it is one of the weakest cards we've ever seen. At least the June 20th card, though, with Volkov and Blaydes, it's got some decent fights on it, like Josh Emmett versus Shane Burgos. That's a great fight. And there's a few other fights that are interesting, like Frank Amako versus Matt Frevola. So that card looks actually pretty good. But, man, the June 13th card, geez, that's going to be next Tuesday, by the way. Myself and Cole will break that down in full. I don't know how much you're going to enjoy doing the breakdowns. But, again, you know, money's to be made. So we'll definitely break down every fight in that card. I just think, as a fan, it's kind of weak. All right. Now, I got to talk about Fight Island here because all these events that I'm talking about are supposed to take place in Fight Island. Anything after June 27th, according to Dana White, he said that Fight Island's probably getting ready for the June 27th card. That's the card that's supposed to be headlined by Dan Hooker and Dustin Poirier. So Hooker's obviously an international fighter. Poirier's an American, but he'll be able to go to Fight Island. Dana White said in the past, it's going to be for international guys that can't fight in the States right now, but also for Americans that can get out of the country. Now, I did hear some rumors about Fight Island, so I got to talk about them. A little birdie told me some stuff. First off, the July 11th card, that's kind of, you know, the big pay-per-view event there. I'm still hoping that's going to be Usman defending his belt against someone like Masvidal or Burns, but I also heard that it's probably going to be Petr Yan against Jose Aldo on that card. So that's what I'm hearing. And we've already heard that UFC announced that fight. Now, here's the thing that I got to talk to you guys about. Location. We really have no idea what it's going to be, right? I have heard a rumor that Fight Island could be somewhere in Abu Dhabi. So that's the rumor I heard. And it makes sense. I mean, UFC's been there. There's a lot of islands available to buy there, a lot of man-made islands. It just makes a lot of sense. When I heard this, I was like, oh, bingo, geez. Like, why didn't I know this before, right? Like, it's so obvious when you think about it. Like, in my mind, the whole time, I was like, okay, what are they going to do? Like, find an island in the Pacific Ocean, like, off the West Coast so they can just, you know, fly from Vegas over there. But the more I think about it, it's like, Abu Dhabi makes sense. You know, there's a lot of money there too. So it does make sense. We have no official confirmation by any means, but you know, there's been some rumors trickling around and that's what I heard. So I could be wrong. I mean, whoever told this to me could be wrong, but this is what I heard. And I wanted to tell you guys about it, my listeners. So what do you guys think about that? Abu Dhabi Fight Island. It does kind of make sense, right? Throw some comments in there if you want, guys. I got to talk about UFC 250. Because yesterday there was some confusion about it, but eventually everything's okay. So basically what happened was Ian Heinisch was removed from the card against first fight against Gerald Meerschaert, which was a fight I'm looking forward to, and I was picking Gerald Meerschaert as a dog. Now, Heinisch, apparently his cornerman, tested positive for coronavirus, so the UFC pulled him as a precautionary reason. The problem was it was a false positive, so the UFC signed this guy, Anthony Ivey. I don't know too much about him, but I was reading about him. He's like on a five-fight win streak. Doesn't have a lot of experience. Former Bellator guy. They signed him to fight Meerschaert, but like soon afterwards, the fight was back on because there was a false positive test for the cornerman of Ian Heinisch. So the fight's back on right now. It's going to be Ian Heinisch against Gerald Meerschaert, but so weird, right? Like so bizarre. You think the UFC would have waited like before announcing this guy being signed. Or whoever announced it, like maybe his management group, I'm not 100% sure who it was. But I just know that everyone's like, oh, Anthony Ivey's fighting this guy. And I'm like, who's this guy, right? It's kind of weird. Like, don't you think they would have waited to see what happened with the false positive test? Now, the other question a lot of people are having is, why did this happen on Thursday? Like, weren't these guys in Vegas on, like, you know, Tuesday getting tested. Why wait till Thursday to announce this? I mean, I guess the test results take a little while, a couple of days to come back. You know, the fact that they had a false positive and then so quickly changed their mind and said, you know, it's good, we're good to go, we're going to do this fight, is just kind of weird. But, you know, I will say that it's good the UFC is testing these guys. I'll be honest, though, guys, I'm a little surprised that we've only had a few guys involved in these events test positive. I mean, through two states, through the last 2 months, the only people that have tested positive are Jacare, his cornerman, and I think a cornerman of Calvin Kattar, and that's it. I can't think of anyone else. So kind of bizarre. Like, you think that there would be more positive tests, quite frankly. But, you know, thankfully there isn't. But honestly, guys, I'm still like, I get that bad feeling. You know, something could happen today or tomorrow where a fight gets pulled. I don't know what fight it would be, but I still get that bad feeling. Now, the other thing that kind of concerned me was Amanda Nunes came out and she did an interview with Kambachi saying that she felt really sick recently. She said on a recent trip to Vegas, she didn't say when it was. She said it was near the beginning of coronavirus. So I'm guessing in like March when it was really hitting the US and Canada hard. She said basically she was feeling really sick, went home. She was sick, never felt that way before. Nina Ansaroff, who is her fiance, who's also pregnant right now, she also got really sick. So Nina says she believes she had coronavirus and defeated it. She's not 100% sure she didn't get tested for it. So, you know, for me, it's like, especially if you're like a high-end athlete like that, like I understand you probably think you can beat this stuff, but you have access. Like UFC has access to testing. Like she could have got herself tested easily. She could have called Dana or whoever and just said, hey guys, like I feel sick. I need to get tested for this. And she just chose not to. As a champion of the sport, it's kind of weird, kind of a bad look in my opinion. Like she could have actually been, you know, kind of like a trendsetter. Like, hey, I wasn't feeling good, so I wanted to get tested for this. And, you know, I'm negative, but I felt sick, so I'm glad I'm negative. It's just kind of weird that she, you know, a lot of these fighters, like Alexander Hernandez a few months ago, last month, when he fought Drew Dober, he was like, oh, I was sick and, you know, I beat it and, you know, I'm tough and stuff. It's like, if you're feeling sick and you feel like you have corona, go get tested for it. Lyman Good's a guy who got tested and he was pulled from the event. He's going to fight again in a couple of weeks, but he did it the right way. You know, some of these other guys and girls, including Nunez, I think are not doing it the right way. If you're sick, go get yourself tested. Like, why are you waiting? You know, especially like, again, if you're in a situation like Amanda Nunes, it's not like, you know, it's going to cost her money to get tested. She can just get it done. You know, UFC, if there's any cost associated, they would pay for it. So kind of bizarre. Hopefully she's okay. Hopefully she didn't test positive. I mean, sounds like she's fine, but it definitely concerned me. And Nina Ansaroff obviously was sick too. So definitely scary stuff there. One other thing here, Anthony Rumble Johnson teased a comeback once again, guys. I can't wait to see Rumble back in the sport. Love Rumble Johnson. He was joking around. He posted a picture at 230 pounds. He said, making my return to 170. That will never happen, obviously. But, you know, there was rumors he could come back as a heavyweight. Now it's looking like light heavyweight might be where he comes back to. Now, I've always wanted to see John Jones against Rumble Johnson. It's still a fight I want to see, but I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon. But I will say this. If Johnson wants to come back, he's right back in the mix if he comes back. DC will be gone, and Jones will be probably gone too. So those are his biggest, like, rivals, basically. The rest of these guys, I think he can beat some of them. Like Dominic Reyes, you know, he's definitely a really good fighter, but Rumble could land and knock him out. Jan Blachowicz, Rumble could knock him out too. So to me, there's a lot of really fun, exciting fights for Rumble 205 or at heavyweight if he wants to come back. Like to me, Rumble going to heavyweight makes more sense than Gus, but we'll see what happens. If you guys have any last second questions, throw them in there right now and I'll answer them. I'm just going to see what else I've missed. Let's take a look here. I think I got everything though, guys. Like I was looking around the news and pretty much everything that I wanted. I got Rafael Dos Anjos. He said he's on the last fight of his deal. He's not sure what's going to happen next. Basically said that he won't cut down to 155 unless they pay him a lot of money, which they're not going to do. So he's going to stay at 170. Wanderlei Silva broke his foot apparently while riding a bike in Brazil. So hopefully Wand is okay. There's some pictures floating around. He got some cuts on his face and stuff, but I think he's 43 or 44 right now, so he's a little bit older, but he's been rumored to fight Mike Tyson in bare-knuckle boxing. So, you know, hopefully he stays healthy. I mean, that would suck if he lost that fight because he got hit by a car in a bike accident. But at the same time, bare-knuckle's probably not going to be back for a little while now, and if they do come back, I don't know. I still don't know if they're going to sign Mike Tyson. I know they offer him $20 million or whatever. That's the report, but still kind of weird to me. Some new details emerged in the Nia Blanchard case. That's Walt Harris' stepdaughter. Really sad stuff there. They just kind of explained more what happened and how she was killed. Really sad stuff. It's grisly details. If you guys want to check it out, if not, totally understandable, but really sad stuff there. Got Chris Lefford. What's going on, Chris? Cody Garber, the new snake in the grass. Yep. And then he says, Felicia Spencer will shock the world. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are, you know, suggesting that she could – possibly pull off the upset. Right now, the odds have Nunes as a minus 600 favorite and Spencer at plus 450. You know, I still lean towards Nunes, but the line is very high, that's for sure. So pretty crazy stuff. But overall, I mean, it's a great card, guys. I can't wait for it. And once again, go back and tune into the podcast on Tuesday if you missed the breakdowns, broke down all the 12 fights on the card. I really like this card. I mean, it's on paper, it could have used a better main event, but geez, what a card. There's some really good prelims. What's a refund on 2020? We all do, bro. It's so bad. Eh? It sucks. Like, nothing to do. And, you know, thankfully we have UFC, but man, I'd be going, I kind of am going crazy, but it's like, I want to, you know, go out and travel a little bit or, you know, play some sports. Can't. It sucks. Chris Lufford, Paige VanZant to 1FC. I don't know. I think Bellator personally, but we'll see. She's got one last fight here against Amanda Ribas. She beats Amanda Ribas. That's a big win for her. You know, that'd be huge. But we saw the betting odds for it a couple weeks ago. They're not too much in Paige VanZant's favor. And just seeing if there's any other odds here. Actually, they did open a bunch of odds for like upcoming fights. Wow, look at the Paige VanZant odds right now. Minus 490 for Ribas, plus 390 for Paige. No respect for Paige VanZant. You know, I'm not saying Paige is a great fighter, but geez, that's a lot of disrespect there. Also, the odds are for Gastelum and Hermanson. Gastelum minus 120, Hermanson plus 100. So slightly in towards Kelvin. And actually opened minus 150. So I said minus 200. So I wasn't too far off. And some other fights as well, if you guys want to take a look. Their odds out that just dropped for Covington and Woodley. Colby Covington minus 250. Tyrone Woodley plus 210. So the odds makers definitely like Colby Covington in that fight. And it's hard not to. Chris Ledford, Amanda Nunes retiring in 2020. I don't think so. But I would say within the next couple of years, I mean, really at this point, what else does she have to prove? Nothing. She's the best female fighter we've ever seen. It's all about making money. I mean, especially if she has a child on the way, she's going to have to make some more money, right? So to me, I don't see her retiring anytime soon. I think she'll take some more fights. And to be honest with you, a lot of these matchups for her are not very difficult. Frank Cannon, is Rashad Evans planning on fighting again? I thought he announced he was coming out of retirement some time ago. Yeah, let me double check that. I remember Rashad, he retired after a bunch of losses. He lost five straight fights. He was inducted into UFC Hall of Fame. And he was, I guess, released last year and was talking to some other promotions. Like, I heard Bellator was interested. But, you know, with the coronavirus thing, kind of wiped out everyone else's plans. I could still see Rashad actually returning. I don't think he'll be in the UFC. He did lose five straight fights. You know, to be fair to Rashad, you look at who he lost to. It was Anthony Smith. You know, no shame in that. Sam Alvey probably should have won the fight. Dan Kelly, that's a fight he should have won. Although I remember picking Dan Kelly in that fight as a dog, I think. Glover Teixeira and Ryan Bader. So he's lost to some pretty good guys. But at the same time, his last win came in 2013 against Chael Sonnen. So it's been a long time since Rashad's won a fight. I think Rashad does a really good job with the commentary. So I'd rather see him just stick at the desk, to be honest with you, man. I don't want to see him fight again. But how many fighters have you seen come back and fight? You know, they do it all the time, especially in Bellator. Like, they get so many guys. Like, I'm thinking the guys like, you know, Tito, Stefan Bond, or Ken Shamrock, guys that are way past their prime. Bellator calls them up and signs them. Not as much as they were a few years ago, but they still are doing it. I think Bellator's kind of, you know, got past that stage a little bit now. They're focusing on younger talent or, you know, really good fighters like Douglas Lima and stuff like that. But, you know, I wouldn't write them off. And he also has a question, Chris Ledford, John Jones to Bellator. I don't think so, man. The UFC won't release him. That's the thing. People don't understand that. Like, UFC has him under contract. Jones can ask for his release. They don't have to give it to him. They won't. Why would the UFC release John Jones to let him go to Bellator? You know, that's exactly what happened. Even though I remember John McCarthy a few months ago was like, I would tell Scott Coker not to sign John Jones. Yeah, right. Scott Coker would sign John Jones in a second. It's not happening, man. I don't see that happening whatsoever. First off, I don't think John Jones will be released. I do think he could vacate the title. He already announced he would, but he hasn't said anything since then. It's a money problem, guys. It really is. You know, maybe the UFC will bump up his pay to fight Blachowicz or Reyes or something like that. But, you know, I think Jones at this point in his career is like, you know, I'm getting in my 30s now, and I did everything I want to accomplish. I want to make some serious dough right now. It's just a rough time because of the economy and stuff. So he wants that Nagano fight, but who knows? Taking the last question here, Chris. Kaylin Chikagian exposed Antonina Shevchenko. It's true, she did. And so did Roxanne. And then Coker would die laughing at Big John's face, Daniel Edwards. Yeah, you probably would. All right, that's going to be it. Any last second questions, throw them in, but I want to get out of here, guys. So you guys can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMerton, and I'm available at MAOddsBreaker.com, BJPenn.com, MARings.net. Over at MAOddsBreaker.com, got the podcast for Tuesday, breaking down the fights, got my main event preview, got the opening odds for this card as well. And there's a bunch of other content. A lot of other people are providing content now for the site, which is great. So definitely go check out MAOddsBreaker.com. That's our home, home of the podcast. Nick Kalikas does a great job running that site. So definitely go back and check out OddsBreaker. BJPenn.com, always, you know, with the latest news in MMA. MARings.net, I have an article over there about the card this weekend, UFC 250 and the bantamweight fights, and how that division, the title picture is going to be really fixed this weekend. So it should be good. And that's it for questions, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. I'll be back Tuesday to recap UFC 250 and to break down that UFC Fight Night card next week. Until then, guys, have an amazing weekend. Hope you really enjoy the fights. Hopefully we all make some money on these fights. Have a great day, guys. Bye.